Good morning.
So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at what it means to walk the talk of being a believer, walking worthy of our calling. This is something that Paul was pouring out his heart to the Ephesian believers, and it's really interesting how just the believers there, you got to think, the first century church, they were new in this, if you want to call it, Christian culture of what it meant or being in Christ. What did it mean to live separate, to live apart from this world? So Paul was encouraging them in this manner. And in the first few verses, first two verses, which was part one of this study a few weeks ago, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So Paul, when he says therefore, he's changing the thought here from what he just spoke on, right? Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, he was changing his thought. And in Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, he was talking about all the blessings of what we have in Christ. We even this morning spoke about it at the Lord's Supper of being redeemed from being strangers and aliens and foreigners, and having the heavenly blessings of Christ. And what now? How now shall I live? What now shall I do to live for Christ? And we're going to follow that thought in this. The conduct of a believer. Are you walking the walk? And this is part two, living Christ-like. So I pray that it would be a blessing to us. Let's read a few verses here in Ephesians chapter 4. And our study today will be in verses 17 to 24. So I'm just going to read that and get into this. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." That you put off the old man. So you have here in chapter 4, and a really good thought. The beginning of the chapter, he says, therefore. So he's, from whatever he said before, this is how you should live. And you see that same mentality in verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord." So he's saying, here's the practical part. Here's the application to a believer's life. This is how we should walk. So possessing, in part one, I was relating it to the children of Israel, right? As they came out of Egypt and the Lord was making them a group of holy believers, and as Moses died off and Joshua was going into the land of Canaan, they had to possess, right? They had to go into the land of Canaan and possess all the blessings that was there for them. A little different now, right? We have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We have the blessings. But does our life reflect it, right? Does our life reflect being in the Lord? Living a life on earth that is worthy of our calling. And the key questions that I asked previously and I ask again, how do we take what we have in Christ and live in a world that is so opposite and against the things of Christ? How do we practically walk? How do you stand and walk through the world in a way that is pleasing to God? That is pleasing to God. Not to man or our friends or our co-workers or your friends at school, but pleasing to one, right? An audience of one. We walk, we live, we give glory to an audience of one. Again, this mentality of therefore. So Paul is reflecting on what he said in the past. Ephesians 1 to 3, in chapters 1 and 3. He talks about our wealth in Christ. What we have in Christ. It's our wealth in Christ. called by grace to belong to his body. For by grace you have been saved, and not of works, right? For by grace you have been saved, and now you belong to the body. We talked about that this morning as well. Raised from the dead, being dead in trespasses, right? What an amazing, awesome salvation we have in Christ. That we have been saved from death, from condemnation, a path towards condemnation, to life again, renewed in life. Reconciled unto God, strangers and foreigners so far away, now reconciled, and then now victory over Satan, right? We have victory. But you know, the funny thing is, some of us live our lives like we live in defeat. We live defeated lives still. Why? Because we haven't put off the old man. We haven't put off the trespasses that we were a part of. And we haven't thought about what it means to walk in Christ. Walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4 through 6. He talks about what is worthy. What is a walk that is worthy? He talks about unity of the body, which we dealt with in part 1. If you'd like, we have these on the website, so you could go listen to it. And something I'm going to address today is put off the grave clothes. And what does that mean? To put off this world. To put off the old man and what the mentality of the old nature was. We're going to talk about that today. So, our walk in Christ, our wealth in Christ, and now what, because of our wealth in Christ, how do we now live? And today, you know, this message, you know, a lot of messages are set up where you could have three or four practical steps and do this and you know, it'll help. This message is more, Paul is addressing the mind. And I like when we have to address the mind, right? The mind leads our thoughts, leads our walk, and our habits and everything we do. So Paul addresses the mind, and we're going to talk about that. So again, children of Israel walking, they needed to walk as a nation among nations. We need to walk as a holy priesthood, right? A separated people. And that's what our calling is. So Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, again, talks about every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose them before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not only to be holy and acceptable to God, but because of that, this world will see Christ. But we have to walk worthy of that calling, right? We don't live a legalistic lifestyle where we have a do's and don'ts. We live a Christ-filled lifestyle. Well, that's how we should be led in our lives. And that's what Paul is addressing here in 17 through 24. So I want you guys to think of that, of walking for Christ. I'm thinking about time here, so I want to make sure I get everything in. I want to show you a quick video, okay? And this video is going to really encourage the young people, because we're trying to put a video together for the youth rally. So this is an old video that I made with the youth group in Northridge. And it's funny. It's really funny. And it's talking about the search for the temple of God. If in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 6, it talks about us being the temple of God. And what does our lives should reflect on that. So this was really roughly made, but it's funny. And Ben is in it. He's hilarious. Michelle is in it. I don't know if you ever saw it. Did you ever see it? So if I go over time, please give me grace. Where is it now? Again, this was made for a youth rally, so. Let's see if they play here.
One man. story of the dream of finding the temple of God.
Dude, what was Uncle and Craig talking about tonight? What in the world were they talking about?
What were they talking about?
Well, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm a grown man. I can do what I want, right? I mean, how am I supposed to be the temple of God?
Well, when you have Jesus into your heart, God comes to live inside of you. So whatever you do, God's there.
I still don't understand what they're talking about.
Well, we're trying to explain it to you, but...
This is boring. I'm going to go do burnouts. That's...
Amen.
Hey, guys, you got to see
what... Whoa, what is that?
Go. Check it out.
Want to see that?
It's not a map. It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is a map.
Look,
it is.
It's, it's
got a little compass
like
on.
Treasure.
What is it? It's a map.
A map of what?
It looks like a body.
It's the map to the temple of God. X.
What is this? What is it pointing to? Is that an X?
Yeah, it's like an X marks the spot.
Let's go check it out, man.
You know what this calls for?
Indiana Jones.
You guys get the gist. We were focusing on, and if you want to see the rest, I'm going to show the rest later. So, but we were focusing on what does it mean to walk worthy, walk as a believer, in a believer, young people's life, and they were pointing out different ways that even believers, they still want a very worldly lifestyle and following a worldly lifestyle. But what does it mean to truly walk as the Lord would want us to walk? So that's what Paul is addressing here in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's really interesting that Paul changes thought here in like what he says in the first verses. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. What does it mean to walk worthy? And that's what Paul is doing. And Paul here in verse 17 talks about prohibitions in a believer's life. What to stay away from. And it's in a negative sense of what to do. You know, we in Christendom today has a very, you got to be happy. If I'm not happy, I'm not living right. Or I have liberty in Christ, right? I could do anything I want, right? That's what it means? No, right? Paul is saying you must be careful the way you walk. You need to be careful in what this world is showing or what this world would want you to do. And what does it mean to live holy and acceptable unto God? So Paul here is talking about certain prohibitions for the believer. Keeping the believer holy, focusing on what to be aware of. And he does this in a very kind of negative focus centered way, but he does it, it's a way that believers should be should apply to their lives and to, that would walk, help them walk worthy. And the main, what he sets the tone here in verse 17, testify in the Lord. And he says, this I therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And he sets the tone just like that. You should not walk, no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. So the question is, how does the world walk? How does the world live? And do we reflect the world, or do we reflect the Lord in our life? And that's what we need to examine ourselves and examine our hearts about, right? So let's look and answer that question. How did the Gentiles walk? And I propose to you guys that it's very similar or exactly the same. And he points it out here in these verses. Look with me in verse 17. And I want to, again, this is kind of a thinking message. So you have to think in your heart and your mind about what the Lord is saying here. Paul saying that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. How do they walk? And he first talks about in the futility of their mind. Okay? Let's put our thinking caps on here. What is Paul addressing here? In the futility or in the vanity of their mind here. You know, it's funny too. I took anthropology. Anthropology is the study of man. And it's interesting to watch people and the way they live their lives. Paul is saying here, the Gentiles of the world, they live in the vanity of their mind. And I wrote here, empty illusions of what life is about are finding emptiness of satisfaction in sin. These empty illusions create a bigger craving for sin, and you never find its bottom, right? You know, I had a friend in college. He was part of our dorm Bible study, and I probably mentioned him before. But he wasn't a strong believer, but he was in our Bible study, and he wanted to live for Christ. And so he said, "You know, guys, I'm going to make a difference." So he said, "I'm going to go be a part of a fraternity, okay?" And I'm not. There are some good fraternities, but he's like, "I'm going to go be a part of a fraternity." Now, I knew the fraternities on campus, and there weren't any good fraternities on my campus. And I warned him. I said, "Dwayne, you don't want to do that. You're going to fall. Why? Because they want to follow an empty illusion of what life is about. You know, we just came from home, and we go to college, and it's just like doors wide open. I can do whatever I want." And he started to get into a life of drinking, of partying, and we started to warn him, you're falling down the track. You're trying to satisfy yourself, having a bigger craving for sin, and you'll never come to that point. It's the empty illusions of life, finding emptiness and the satisfaction in sin. You know, this world is surrounded by it. I can't tell you how much our culture is so about reality shows. Reality shows, if you watch them, if you know some sense of them, are just a depiction of lifting up self and pride and look at me, whereas it just shows the emptiness of their life, the futility of life and what they're pursuing. I wrote here, the world, its promoters of immorality as a lifestyle. Immorality as a lifestyle. Paul was telling the believers there, don't walk as these Gentiles, pursuing the things of emptiness, of futility, of empty illusions of what life is about. I think that's why many people seem to fall more and more in life. What else does he say here? He says, in the futility of their mind. And next he says, having their understanding darkened. And so he's going to the next level of extremity or extreme here. Of now they have empty illusions of life, what life about. And then they having their understanding darkened here. And I wrote, where the lost world, the lost man, has lost his perception of moral values. Loss of perspective or perception, right? You know, a good story here was the story of Lot, right? Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that lifestyle in Sodom and Gomorrah, when those visitors came, right? And they were in Lot's house. These visitors came knocking at their house, and you could see the loss of morality in their life. Why? They wanted to be carnal with those visitors. Give them to us so that we could be carnally, to live carnally with them. Loss of perception. Case in point. Have you guys been watching The Norway Killer? The Norway Killer that just had a killing spree. They said that he wanted to stand up for what his beliefs were, but he had to meditate so that he would put all emotions aside. And when you do that, you darken. He had to darken his understanding, loss of morality, concept of morality, to do what he did. You see what Paul is saying? Their understanding's becoming darkened. Even if you think about, if you watch the news so much, or if you watch just what's popular today, shows, movies, whatever it may be, the thrust of it is, any story that's dark seems intriguing. And that's what this world is bent on, right? Things that are darkened, or things that have lost perception and lost that. They even put away the things of God and call themselves wise, right? But the Lord says in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You know, and even part of this understanding darkened is Satan blinding them, right? Satan blinding the unsaved from the things of God. 2 Corinthians 4, I didn't put it out on the screen, but 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. Listen to these verses, okay? And think about having their understanding darkened. Their understanding darkened. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, again, Paul's addressing the mind, right? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Having their understanding darkened, Satan seeks to blind this world and could grab hold of a believer's life if the believer continues to pursue it, right? Their own understanding and their life could be darkened. And I think that's a slippery slope of going down that way. Paul was addressing the believers and saying not to follow these Gentiles. Why? They follow empty illusions. And their minds are becoming dark. You think about Corinth, right? They had temples built for their idols. And they had lady people, prostitutes in the temple. Why? They wanted to follow immorality. They wanted to follow a lifestyle that was away or shunned the things of God, away from morality, and followed things that were being darkened. Right? Paul is saying, this is not, do not follow this. Apparently, they must have been following some sort of it, right? Paul was setting up a lifestyle that was different and away from those things. So what's the next step that Paul says here? No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. So their understanding, their mind, their thoughts are being darkened. Next he says, then what's the next level? Your mind is darkened, and then you alienate from the life, and that's the key word there, from the life of God. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Your rebellion of Adam, because of the dead in trespass and sin, and they become ignorant to the things of God. You know, there you see here a step process of being hardened away from the things of God. Hardening of the heart. Where there is no truth and life to bring understanding, right? You're becoming darkened by these things and becoming alienated from the life of God. You know, case in point, there's a good point here of... Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And you see this step process of what it means to walk as Gentiles. And Paul was addressing this in the lifestyle of the world. I'm going to be a little lengthy here, but just follow with me here. Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. So they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. I'm going to skip here a little bit. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him. So they did not accept Him as God, nor were thankful, but became... Here's the same word. You hear the same word here. Futile. Futility. Vanity in their mind. Futile in their thoughts. Hear it again. And foolish hearts were what? Darkened. So what was the result here? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, to exchange the truth. You hear the truth and the life in God of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, likewise also the men. You see, you hear the same words here? The futility of their thoughts, their understanding becoming darkened, becoming alienated from the things of God and becoming ignorant, though they think themselves as wise, they're truly fools. And what happens here? Even in Ephesians 4, again, we see the same thought here in Ephesians 4, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, verse 19, who being past feeling had given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with. Being alienated from God, they became ignorant. And then what do we see here? Being past feeling. You see that even in the Norway killer, right? Did you guys see the pictures of him? I wish I had put some pictures of him. He was so defiant in that courtroom. And I forgot how many people he killed. What a thought to have his mind darkened. Lost all perception of reality, no feeling, and then given over themselves to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with lewdness. Paul was addressing the believer, right? He's saying, walk worthy, not as the Gentiles. So some believers were still following maybe possibly the same lifestyle. And they're saying, no, What is holy and acceptable unto God? What is your calling? And what, how do you walk worthy? So Paul is saying here, in essence, he's saying it starts here, right? He's talking about your mind and how it leads our heart. So I ask you in the same way, do you live in this same manner? Do we live in the same manner? Do we live in the vanity of our own mind and what we pursue in our hobbies, in our what we consider important in our life? Are they empty illusions? You know, and I think about this also because I think of Anjali and Aaron. Because how they are going to grow up and know Christ, know God, is how they see it in my own life. I don't want them to see empty illusions in my life. I don't want them to see my mind and thoughts always being filled with darkness, but with the light of and light and the truth of the Word of God. How do we think about these things? So Paul considers these things, and he gives us this argument not to walk like the Gentiles, and he says, this is what you should do. And this is what I like to focus on for our last few minutes here is, look with me in chapter 4 again, Ephesians 4. So he says, verse 19, who being past feeling had given themselves to over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. So he's making this accusation here. He first shows the darkness of the world and of the Gentiles. And then he's accusing them, but he's encouraging them at the same time. But you have not so learned Christ. You have not learned how to live for Christ. Indeed, you have not heard him and have been taught by him, verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus. What will change the Gentiles from their old nature, from the old man? And he says, to be learned of Christ. To consider, Paul uses the word reckon in Romans, and I love that word, reckon. Reckoning is a knowing of, a reminder of putting off, right? To reckon yourselves not of the old man any longer, but to follow Christ. So he's saying, but you have not so learned or reckoned Christ in your own life. What does it mean? You have not so been taught by him as the truth in Jesus. And he was telling these basic things, but to listen to Christ and to read of his word, to hear him and obey him, to be taught by him, to have a submissive will and yielded life to Christ. I wrote here also another point here, to have a renewed mind, right? A renewed mind. You've heard the old quote, "You are what you eat." Have you ever heard of that? You are what you eat. Well, I'm saying to you, you are what you think. And he's saying to have a renewed mind in Christ, in the Lord, and to live life as such. Allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your thoughts as you read and learn more about Christ. Paul, this is a huge accusation here. He's encouraging them. But he's pointing out you're still walking like the Gentiles, and you not have yet learned so much of Christ. He's encouraging them. You have to continue to learn of Christ. Could that accusation be made of us today? You know, I would say I'm not guilty. I'm a little guilty here. I am not. I want to know Christ more in my life. I want to walk more in the way of Christ. Have a submissive will and yield it to Christ. Verse 22 and 24, and I like this this part here. That you put off concerning your former conduct. You put it off. If you lived a life of alcohol, put it off, because that's the old man. If you lived a life of partying and of having a immoral lifestyle, put it off. Put it off. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Romans 6:6 even has the same thought, Paul saying here again, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that lives, he lives to God. I like this word. Likewise, you also reckon. Put it off. Consider it off. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, an example of this was what I was thinking of this morning. Lazarus, right? Lazarus, Jesus comes. He's been dead. He's been in the tomb. And he says, come forth, right? Come forth. He came forth. And what did he say? Loose his bonds. Take off the grave clothes. Take off your former conduct. Put it, your former conduct away. Paul is saying this to the Gentile believers. Why? Because they were following the things of the world still. You know, I say this a lot. When we come to know Christ, if you don't have a good discipler next to you when that happens, you don't do a self-examination and consider or reckon what things you need to put off. And Paul is encouraging these first century believers, and he's encouraging us now. Put it off. Don't follow it any longer. Even if you, I think for those believers that you did not grow up in a Christian background, even more should you consider what is of the world and what is not, what is of Christ, and put it off. Put it off. It's like a changing of clothes because of what Christ has already accomplished. You know, and another point here is you can't do it by self or effort, but by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work and yielding up your life and the transformation work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit helps in that way as well. The old man has been crucified with Christ, and therefore we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's dead. We need to walk. What is it saying in 1 Corinthians? We are a new creation, right? We're a new creation in Christ. Therefore, we should live in that manner. Walking worthy of our calling, J. Vernon McGee states, the church is to walk as a new man in this world. There is to be an exhibition. The church is to be an extrovert, to witness, to manifest life. And for this to happen, we need to live worthy of our calling in Christ. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? And that's my posing my question to you all is, how can this world see Jesus in us if we do not walk worthy of our calling in Him? This is the crux of the matter, right? Paul's encouraging the believers here to walk worthy. Why? Because this world is watching us. They want to see Christ. Are we living in that way? You know, for you young ones, when you guys go to school and you take part in maybe filthy talk or in arguments or anything that this world may be a part of, you're not living like Christ. You need to live for Christ and say, you know what, or walk away from those situations. You know, I'm not going to be part of those words and what you share. Your friends start making fun of somebody, that's not how Christ would want you to live. Even if, you know, the stuff that you watch on TV or video games you guys may play, watch yourself. Be careful. Is it helping you create a mind that lives for the Lord and is light and truth and glorifies God, or is it different? Is it of the world? Paul is saying, take an examination. Walk worthy of what you've been called. And live for His name. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You once again for this day You've given us. Lord, we thank You again for, Lord, the amazing salvation You have provided to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the grace you have poured down to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pause here to think of how we are living our life for thy name. Lord, are we truly walking worthy? Are we truly walking in a manner, Lord, that is holy and acceptable unto you? Help us to put aside what others may think of us or how others may judge us, Lord, but in our measure and our standard of Christ, Lord, are we living up to it? Lord, I pray if we are not, Lord, may we be bold enough and confident enough, Lord, to lay it down at your feet and confess it, Lord, and reckon itself as dead and a part of our old nature, Lord, and to live a truthful life lived unto thy name. Lord, help us to walk worthy. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would convict us of things that may be drawing us away from you, Lord, and Lord, today, as we ponder upon these things, help us to live differently. Lord, put it away. If that means like throwing away things or telling old relationships, I can no longer do that, Lord. Help us to be confident. Help us to live by your power. Lord, I ask you to give us that strength to do that. Lord, may we leave here encouraged. May we leave here pondering these words again. And we, Lord, just thank you again for the many blessings and grace you've poured to us. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.